The following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah! Go Cowboys!
Let's go, baby!
Are you ready for a break?
Yes.
Are you ready for a break?
Absolutely.
Ready for a break?
Yeah, and so much for that.
It's time for The Break on DallasCowboys.com.
We were on a break!
With Ambar Garcia, Brian Broaddus, Patrick Walker, and Derek Eagleton.
Hello, guys. Welcome back to another episode of The Break. I am hosting today. Derek said, hey, if the team didn't show up to Buffalo, why do I have to show up to work today? No, just kidding. He did not say that. But he'll be back tomorrow, and we'll get into the big picture NFL team since the Cowboys have clinched a spot in the playoffs. But to start off the show, I wanted to let you guys do an opening statement, a quick venting session before we take a deep dive and try to figure out exactly what went wrong and what happened, where did they mess up in that tough loss against Buffalo. So Patrick, vent it away.
They put a gun to their foot and kept pulling the trigger is what they did. And I mean, for me, it's a domino effect that all leads to, you know, three or four particular items. And we can talk about the officiating, but I won't, because it is what it is at this point. But when you talk about four critical penalties that helped decide the rest of the game, three of those being personal fouls, three of those personal fouls coming on three of the first four offensive drives by the Bills, it basically spotted them 18 of their first 21 points, made it a 21-3 game on the road, hostile territory, with, although the weather did participate as the game went on, rain started to happen, so you know the passing game wasn't going to be there for you, but you were in a 21-3 hole. You did get an opportunity to answer their first touchdown on their first offensive drive. Dak misses on the deep shot to Cooks. That's a 7-7 tie if it happens. It didn't. They did recover nicely and kind of move down the field. But then what do you get? You get a holding penalty on Tyler Smith that ultimately puts you in a 3rd-and-14. And then protection issues showed up, and they stayed there for the rest of the game as far as what your O-line was not able to do against guys like Ed Oliver and Phillips, who basically lived in Dak Prescott's personal space. So, and then that forced a punt, so you didn't get any points off of that. So everything just kind of tailspun from there. But I point back, if you look at the nucleus of everything that happened, I look at those four penalties in that first quarter or so, and that's the tale of the game for me.
This defense, when they have to deal with offensive lines that are committed to running the football, is a problem for them. And it usually stems from the fact that your offense puts a lot of pressure on the opponent's defense to have to play in a game. And when they score points and they make it very difficult, they make teams very one-dimensional. And the Cowboys struggle really mightily when they have to deal with teams that will keep pace with them or find a way to get the lead. It doesn't happen very often. But if the Cowboys' offense isn't firing, it hurts their defense, because now you get teams like Buffalo. Buffalo was committed to running the football yesterday. Buffalo realized early in this game that, you know, the pull schemes that they were able to run, we saw a little bit of that when teams, Carolina did it, Arizona did it. Teams have had some success running the ball against Dallas. The 49ers doing it. When they have to deal with teams that pull offensive linemen, they'll double your best players, and then all of a sudden now they're putting big blockers on smaller defenders. And that's a big problem for the Cowboys, having to deal with that. They take advantage of the Dallas defense and the aggressiveness in which they play with. You know, they want to get up the field, they want to attack. But when you're dealing with, when you're having to cover for your lack of linebacker depth or your linebackers that you've lost, you don't have the size to sit in there and play toe-to-toe. And what happens is you get blockers that get up on smaller players, and then all of a sudden you have a little bit of a retreat, or you can't get off the blocks. Or when you get off the blocks, then you miss a tackle. And, you know, there were several times in that game yesterday where they had a chance to make a stop for a short gain, didn't do it, missed a tackle along the way. But in my opinion, all this really starts with your offense, though, because your offense puts so much pressure on the opponent to take them out of that running game and allow them to do what Dallas does best, and that's rush the passer. They never got to that point. Buffalo had no intent of throwing the football yesterday, and it wasn't to do anything with the weather. It's just that James Cook and their offensive line and their tight ends did a great job of attacking this Dallas defense up front and getting those big blockers on the lighter linebackers who are having to play in roles now because of various injuries throughout the year. So if you get in games where it's pretty similar, you know, if again, opponents find a way to stay in the game or stay ahead or get ahead, you're going to have to deal with a lot more running game. That's just the way people are terrified of playing you and your pass rush. So the best way to get around that is, and if you're good enough to do it, and Buffalo was good enough yesterday, the way that they played defense against Dallas's offense, you know, they took Dallas completely. They said, we don't have to throw. We don't even have to, you know, scoring for us is, you know, we're okay now. If we just run the ball, then we'll be fine. And that's what they did. And I applaud them for doing that. But that the pulling scheme is a problem for the Cowboys just because of the players that they have in place just cannot handle having to play toe-to-toe that way.
Well, let's talk more about the Cowboys defense. And you mentioned the run. And the trending topic right now is size. The size of the defensive players. We know that Jonathan Hankins, he was out. But regardless of even if he was in, I feel like the game would have played out pretty much how it did, in my opinion, because there were so many things that went wrong for the Cowboys. But as far as size, when you talk about they don't have the right size to match up against some of these run heavy type of offenses, how do you
you have to be committed. Buffalo was committed to running the football yesterday because, like I say, there was no reason for them not to run the football. And James Cook did a heck of a job. There was some stuff that was taken care of that they're defending, and all of a sudden he cuts the ball back, you know, and they're not there. The size is an issue just because they're trying to get around not having enough players. They you know, you lose Overshown, you lose Van Der Esch, you lose size at linebacker. You know, Clark is a second year player. Could he play better? Sure he can. There's times where he has played better. They just don't have that ability that when you get into a game where all of a sudden you have to deal with blockers, and those blockers, when they get up on second level, and it happened a bunch in that game yesterday, where all of a sudden you got guys like Bell and Clark and Curse and Wilson, and everybody's fighting blocks. They're fighting 300-pounders coming around the corner, you know, and now they're dealing with that. What are you going to do? You can retreat, and then you try and avoid, and by that time the ball's past you, and it's an 8-yard gain. You know, size is a problem, but they really don't have an answer currently on the roster to be able to take care of that. They get away with it because opponents are always behind. And people talk about that. You know, they're a team. Dallas is a team built to play with a lead. Well, they really are. They rush the passer better than anybody in the league. You know, that's an issue. And so what happens when you get somebody that doesn't feel threatened on the scoreboard? They're going to keep running the football at you. And the size is an issue, but they're having to do it because they don't have any other answers to be able to take care of how to play the scheme.
Is there any type of halftime adjustment that Dan Quinn could have made?
No, because the game had already gotten away from them. Yeah. And when you look at the context of where they were playing, and then the rain started to come in the second half, you're already down big. You can't pass the ball because the rain is starting to come down. They're not going to pass the ball because the rain is coming, and they don't have to. They're using James Cook to bully you and to eat clock. You know, they won time of possession by 10 minutes, almost 10 football minutes. Your defense is getting gassed. It's getting tired. It's getting beat up. Your offense can't get anything going because it can't pass, but it has to pass. But your offensive line is not holding up front. Pressure is coming left, right, and in the interior. There was nothing that you can do once that train went off of the rails as far as halftime adjustments are concerned. Once that game got away in the late first quarter, in the second quarter, Cowboys were just along for the ride at that point. They were just along for the ride.
And Patrick makes a really good point about that. I mean, to me, when you look at Dallas's adjustment was to try and move the front. And even when they angled or stemmed or stunted the front, and I mean not stem, but stem would be moving before snap, but they stunt. So they move guys to the gap on the snap and then try and fill. Well, then all of a sudden they move and then they get pushed wide, and now the filler meets tackle, you know, offensive tackle pulling right there, kick out. Now you don't have a fill player. Now you're already wide. Now you got guys pinned to the inside. It was a clinic on running the football yesterday of how to, and again, Quinn was trying. I'll tell you what though, the majority of the successful runs that Buffalo had yesterday in the was seven man box, what they call neutral. So if you go in and you check and you look at the analytics on it, it's neutral. Most of their runs were with neutral box. Seven. Could he have put eight in there? Sure, he could have. He, you know, and maybe that might have been the answer. And maybe that's the answer going forward. But then, okay, then now you kind of alter things in the back end. Does Dallas have somebody, you know, do they trust anybody on the back end? No Hooker. Do they trust anybody covering, you know? So all of a sudden they're thinking like, we got to play coverage probably for Hooker on the back end. We can't commit the extra guy down in the box. So now you're in a little bit of a bind right there. Mm-hmm. So he tried to adjust. It's just that I tell you, Buffalo's defense had a hell of a game yesterday too. When you look at the way that they played Dak, you know, they didn't allow Dak a lot of four-man rush when the blitzes came. We talked about last week, slot blitz. It was a safety blitz that came in there. They picked up a couple of different times. But there were times where they had five guys underneath and then, you know, two guys deep. You know, they had four-man rush, five under, two deep, and then sometimes they went four under, three deep. You know, and they mixed that coverage throughout, and the Cowboys were trying to run routes into that. And, you know, like Patrick's talking about, all of a sudden you're dealing with pressure, and you can't find the guys. You know, all of a sudden it's that they kind of clogging it, making it look difficult for you. They did a hell of a job. Really did. I mean, if Dallas could have just run the football the entire game, if Dallas would have got a lead, they're going to win that game because of the way Pollard was running the football.
Yeah.
They had an answer for Buffalo's defense came running the ball. And Buffalo was probably like, yeah, we're okay with that. It's the throwing that terrifies us. It's the big plays that terrify us. You know, they did a great job of limiting what Dallas was doing on offense. But they were also said, yeah, if you want to run the ball, fine. But they felt like that them running the football was what helped them. Their defense got a huge help by the way that their offense played, by holding the ball and running the way they did, the drives that they had.
It was the complimentary football from Buffalo that you've seen the last several weeks with Dallas. And when you talk about Buffalo's defense and how well they played, and yes, they did play damn well. They only, out of what, 57 defensive snaps, they only blitzed six times.
Yeah.
That means that when you equate that to the amount of pressure and the times they got in Dak Prescott's personal space and got hands on him, that means the Bills were winning the one-on-one matchups up front. And that was before Zach Martin left the game with a quad injury. So it only got – and Bass, he was solid at times. Yeah. But at the same time, if Zach Martin is struggling against this front, then you got to know that T.J. Bass is going to struggle as well. So because the Bills were winning the front four, I mean, they dropped back in zone almost 90% of the time. Yeah. But it doesn't matter because the pressure is there, right? And then you mix in a blitz here, a blitz there, but it wasn't a ton of blitzes. It was just the fact that the Cowboys' offensive line, they were losing their one-on-ones consistently, time and time again. And when you're down big, and you're down big on the road, and now it's starting to rain, they're just teeing off now. They're just teeing off. They want you to drop back and pass. Yeah, Pollard was pretty solid because they couldn't do much, but at the same time, then they didn't care. It's 21-3. We don't care. Run the ball. Because when we get the ball, if you're the Bills, when we get the ball, we're going to run it, and we're going to keep running it, and the clock's going to start ticking, and the pressure's going to start getting on you because you're going to say, oh, we're running out of time. So guess what you're going to do? Five-step drop, seven-step drop, sack, pressure, hit, hurry. Dak Prescott said yesterday they got beat by the formula. He's absolutely correct. They got beat by the formula.
Well, let's go ahead and take our first break. When we come back, we'll keep dissecting some of the things that happened and what went wrong offensively.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savannah. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Cowboys fans, after that move, we've just coined the term Rowdy Replay. Let's roll back the tape.
Okay, there's our mascot Rowdy cheering on the boys. And now he's on his phone on his Bank of America mobile banking app?
Staying on top of his finances with his virtual financial assistant, Erica.
Bank of America's digital tools are so impressive. Cowboys fans just can't stop banking. Learn more at bankofamerica.com/can't stop banking.
Erica is only available in the English language. You must download the latest version of the mobile banking app. Only available on select mobile devices. Message and data rates may apply. Member FDIC.
Welcome back into Dear Doctor, the show where I answer life's questions with an ice-cold can of Dr. Pepper. Sheila, let's hear from our next caller, would you?
Dear Doctor, my friend supported me during a tough time. But what's the right gift that says, thanks for being a shoulder to cry on?
Okay, this one's easy. I say, give her a delicious Dr. Pepper. Nothing says, thanks, girl, better than a one-of-a-kind soda. Yes, any Dr. Pepper flavor will do. Now, just a reminder that I don't need to be a real doctor to know that Dr. Pepper is the one you deserve.
They say champions are remembered, but legends are never forgotten. United Ag and Turf offers a winning lineup of John Deere equipment built to tackle any challenge on and off the field. Legendary John Deere tractors, combines, residential mowers, commercial mowers, compact construction equipment, Gator utility vehicles, and a full line of golf and sports turf equipment. United Ag and Turf, the official Ag and Turf equipment supplier of the Dallas Cowboys. Visit unitedagandturf.com to find a location near you.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Back to the break.
How about this one? 'Tis the season for youth football and dance camps presented by Invisalign. Don't miss your chance to learn from the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders and former NFL players at AT&T Stadium on December 22nd and 23rd. Celebrate the holidays with the Cowboys. Register today at dallascowboys.com/camps.
Thank you, Brian. Welcome back to the second segment of The Break presented by blockchain.com. There we go. So we still have to talk about penalties, play calling, road games, and all of that. But before, I wanted to ask you more, talk more about the offense. You know, you mentioned the rain, and we know it was raining, and yeah, that was a factor. But let's say the first half of the game, it wasn't raining. Yeah. The rain was gone. And I thought, okay, well, then that gives you the possibility to exploit the passing game and take good use of that because they've been so good. And coming off a three home game winning streak,
right. That's
good, scoring lots of points. Where was exactly the disconnect? Everything seemed like they weren't on time. Dak wasn't in sync with the receivers. So where was the major disconnect on everything that was going wrong on the offense?
Well, for me, and again, you can't blame the weather, but you can't blame the weather. The fact is they were just not connecting like they should have. We talked in the first segment about that overthrow to Cooks. Cooks has his guy toasted.
Yeah.
He's absolutely smoked. And if that ball can get, you know, dropped in there, and we've seen Dak drop that in there before, but he didn't drop it in there then, that's 7-7 tie. That's a fantastic answer to the opening drive that you had a personal foul on that gave them four more points that they shouldn't have had. But you don't get that. And then what do you get on that drive? Yellow flag. It's a penalty. It's holding on Tyler Smith, which for as magnificent as Tyler Smith has been at left guard, he's drawn some holding penalties this season as well. And a lot of those have been drive killers. And this particular one turned into a drive killer because it forced them into a third and 13, third and 14. And Bills, who were already, you know, getting ramped up, getting pressure up front, they went and got Dak Prescott, forced them into a punt. Second offensive drive. You basically stalled on that one. Fair catch and then play action pass to Cooks. That was almost an interception. That told you right there that this was not going to be a good passing day for Dak Prescott and the offense. A couple plays later, 3rd and 10, he gets pressured. He escaped, but it was incomplete. It was lost on the pressure. 4th and 10, you're punting that ball. So at that point, now what happens? The Bills come in, they score again. with more assistance from a penalty, personal foul. And again, at that point, it just started coming off the rails, and the Cowboys were just along for the ride then.
Well, penalties.
Yeah.
This is a problem and an issue that goes all the way back to last year. I feel like we always have to talk about penalties and not being disciplined enough.
Yeah.
And it came down to this game where they had huge penalties that cost them. I forgot the total of points that it would have led to had they not had those penalties. I said that wrong, but you get what I mean. The point is...
Was it 16?
It was 18. First, 18? Take 18 points
18.
Away.
Yeah. That was
18 points away, and then take them away from put them in the context of when they happened, right? Mm-hmm. So if you take those 18 points away of those 21, then even with the Cowboys' mistakes, it's a 3-3 game. It's a massive swing in momentum and potential for the Bills and the Cowboys. And again, we could argue, like, I do believe the foul on Tank was ticky-tack, but okay, you know, don't extend your arms like that. Yeah, Josh Flott, but he don't extend your arms like that if you're Tank.
I don't know what else there is J-Ron, to say on this regard.
The J-Ron curse penalty, wholly disagree. Like, let them play football. He didn't lower his head. Should he allow him to catch the ball? But I don't want to get off onto a tangent as far as officiating, because the officials, although they were questionable, they're questionable every week. That's why I say it is what it is in that capacity. But when it comes to the Cowboys, that holding penalty in Tyler, that's a true penalty.
Yeah.
That's holding. The Sam Williams penalty, should have been 15, should have been 5. That's an argument. However, it's still a penalty. So you don't go on the road and win with self-inflicted wounds that award the other team 18 points before the second quarter, middle of the second quarter gets underway. You're going to lose those games, especially against top-tier teams, especially against top-tier teams who are fighting for a playoff spot. You have to play clean football, and that's the biggest discrepancy between what the Cowboys do at home. They're penalized at home, but it's more forgivable at home because you're not dealing with as many elements working against you at home. When you're on the road, the margin of error, razor thin, so you can't have those mistakes, and they had them, so they got walked.
Wish Mike would have challenged the fumble.
He said a good point,
I
agree.
I know that he didn't challenge it. I would have considered using a timeout. That's
the one.
I'm not asking you to throw the flag. I'm asking you to use a timeout and give your guys upstairs an opportunity to look at it.
Perfectly said.
You know, because to me, it's at that point in time, the game is really not going well for you. You need something to maybe swing it the other way. The block punt could have swung it the other way. Matter of fact, Dallas could have blocked two punts in this game. You know, and I think that's why Bones went for it on the second one. I mean, they get Williams home, obviously. We all have seen that. But I wish Mike would have thought about using a timeout in that situation, even if it's just to – you burn a timeout. And I get it. Timeouts are valuable. But to me, that's the point in time in the game where you're kind of like going, whoa, whoa, whoa.
100%.
We see it in the NBA and basketball or college basketball. They will call timeouts to stop runs. You know, if somebody feels like that the game is getting out of hand or somebody's coming back on you, you will burn a timeout to stop the flow of the game. And I think Mike missed an opportunity to stop the flow of the game. That clearly his guys upstairs could have gotten a look. They could have said, Mike, challenge this. We're going to get this ball back right there. And so it was unfortunate right there. But that's the flow of things that happen in the game. When Dallas loses, things like this tend to happen to them. You know, they don't play really good great run defense. They get affected by dropping 7 in coverage. They don't get a block punt. They get penalties, you know. I mean, they haven't had a whole hell of a lot of these. But something right there, Mike could have maybe affected the game in a way that could have turned it into his team's favor. They let it go, and that's the unfortunate thing with happens sometimes.
Which is no different from in everything you laid out. The more you laid that out, Brian, the more I started to have flashbacks of Philadelphia.
Yeah,
how the game went in Philadelphia. You get the forced fumble, but it bounces back in their favor.
Right.
Swift drops the ball, fumble, but it bounces back under him. Dak steps out of bounds. Schoonmaker's knee is 1 inch too short. Holding penalty or false start. I'm sorry, false start on the potential game winning drive that ended up, you know, driving you back when you were right there in, you know, range to score. So it goes to the overarching point of when you're on the road, you can't make as many mistakes. When you're on the road against a good team, that margin becomes that much smaller. You got to play damn near perfect football. And the Cowboys were far from that. And that's why you see how they lost against the Bills. You see the loss against Philadelphia. And although the one in week five is different from these two, I would still argue, because there was no competitive fire in Santa Clara against the 49ers. Still goes to the fact that when you're on the road, you better man up and play clean football and execute. And in these three losses on the road against top-tier teams, it's because you did not. You were sloppy and or you didn't compete as you should have. And then you look at what happened with the Bills. I mean, they allowed James Cook to rack up more yardage than anyone since Todd Gurley did it in 2017.
Yeah, very reminiscent of that playoff game against the Rams way back, you know, when the first couple of years Dak was in the league. And yeah, I mean, to me, I came out of the game thinking that Dallas just got physically beat up. When you watch the tape of the runs and stuff, like, Cook did a really nice job.
His vision was fantastic.
Vision was incredible. Yeah. But their blocking scheme was on point yesterday with the way that they were able to get on guys. And it wasn't like you kind of felt like, okay, they just dominated. But when you get guys that are pulling and you get double teams and get guys pinned to one side and you get guys trying to, you know, fill and they can't get there, or, you know, they have some confusion of like, oh, you're supposed to be there, I'm supposed to be here, and then all of a sudden they run the ball right to that spot. Mm-hmm. You know, those are the types of things, like Patrick's talking about, when you play on the road, you just can't have that. You know, you just can't have that. They didn't get beat up, but the offensive scheme for Buffalo was outstanding running the football, and their defensive scheme, the way that they defended Dak, was even better.
Josh Allen was 7 of 15, yeah, 94 yards with one touchdown, and the Cowboys lost 31-10.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Figure that one out.
Yeah, it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. But back to Mike McCarthy, other than him not calling a timeout or throwing a flag,
I wish we should just call the timeout to look at it.
If you
challenge it, I get it. You don't want to waste a challenge. But at that point in time, you are reeling. You need to do something different.
We all agree on that.
Yeah.
But other than that moment, how would you guys evaluate his play calling in that game?
They didn't. I'll tell you what, though. To me, it didn't have the look of a team that had the options that they had in that game. Usually with Dallas, when you watch them play, you see a lot of really cool route combinations. The best route combination that they had in that game yesterday was the one that went to Cooks that was incomplete. They had another one where actually Dallas, the corner route to CeeDee Lamb that went for like 16 yards near the sidelines. Tolbert's got to run faster. I've seen Tolbert run faster to clear that guy. That should have been a clean catch. That shouldn't even been contested. If Tolbert takes off running, he's carrying Taylor Rapp out of there, and it's just a clean catch for CD, steps out of bounds, okay? But you look at the best route combination they had yesterday was the one that they missed to Cooks. I mean, it was Lamb across. All of a sudden, Rapp comes up. Now you have no safety in the middle of the field. That's what I'm used to seeing with the Dallas Cowboys. It just seemed very much week one, week two, week three kind of offense yesterday. And maybe that's because the Buffalo Bills were not allowing you to do anything that you normally do. You know, we've seen Dak deal with teams that have dropped people into coverage, you know, and then if you're getting pressure, it doesn't make it any easier, you know, to have to deal with that. There was one time that they ran a route. Which sack was it they had? It might have been the sack by Phillips. They missed the twist stunt. But the
I think you're about to go to.
Yeah, no, it's the sack by Russo. Russo
and
Dotson. Yeah, third and one. Okay, now if you want to be a little nitpicky here, I've seen, by the way, Hunter Lipke, sir, much better job as a blocker yesterday as a fullback. If you want to see a positive, Pollard running the ball, Hunter Lipke, great job of going and digging guys out yesterday. Maybe he's turned the corner there. That's good. But third and one, they're going to throw the ball. They get sacked by Russo and Dotson on the play. Ball gets beat off the line. Schoonmaker's struggling with Russo. Dotson blitz is seeing that Dowdle's going to help pick up Phillips because, you know, the guards beat off the ball. So that leaves Dotson free. Lamb is open on the route. He's going up and then out, and he's open. But Dak can't get him the ball because you got the blitzer,
pressure.
You got pressure, you got a miss block by your guard, you've got a back that's trying to help for the miss block of the guard, and then now all of a sudden the linebacker's like being a football player. It's like, okay, if that guy's going to block, it's called, you know, he's going to say, okay, my key's blocking, I'm going to come rush. Hmm. That's what happened. Now you got two guys in Dak's face. Well, here's Lamb open in the secondary, but you can't get him the ball. So that's the kind of day that they endured yesterday.
And as far as
the a lot play, of missed opportunities.
Yeah, as far as the play calling is concerned, I mean, I was going to lead with, for the most part, McCarthy got forced into a play calling situation he didn't want to be in. You're down 21-3 now. You got to throw your way out of it.
Yeah.
You got to throw your way out of it on the road. And, hey, by the way, rain is starting to move in, so good luck with that. And the Bills just took full advantage of that. So, for the most part, once he was forced in, you know, with the back against the wall, the play calling mostly was fine. It was lack of execution for whatever reason. You know, the timing between receivers, the ball was a little bit high here, it was a little bit high there, it was a little bit out there, it was a little bit in there. It was just not in the windows that you normally see it from Dak. And, of course, that goes to in the second half, the rain started to come down pretty steadily. Bills knew that they were playing for that, right? They know that, okay, you're going to have to throw from behind to win, and it's going to start raining here shortly. So masterful gamesmanship by the Bills. But kind of going to what Brian said, and this is the one that I circled. Actually, in my game notes, it's highlighted in red, italicized, underlined, and in bold. 3rd and 1, that play action pass.
Yeah.
Mike wants that back, because over the course of the game before that point, that was 5th Cowboys drive, so it was 3rd quarter. They were down 21-3, and the Bills had already shown they can get pressure on your quarterback.
Yeah.
Time and time again, and mostly with 4-man fronts, not with the added blitz, mostly with 4-man fronts. If you're going to call that play on 3rd and 1, because on that same drive they had a 3rd and 1, they handed it to Lipke. That actually happened in real life. Mm-hmm. Handed it to Lipke. It was a conversion. So they're making some moves here. They had a quick flat to Pollard. Ferguson got it. So you're moving to start this quarter, but then what do you do? 3rd and 1, instead of a straight drop to give Dak that extra moment for that receiver to get open, you do a play action. Play action. So by the time he's done with the play action, that play's over. That play's over. So it's not so much the play call that it is for me, as far as I would have preferred them handed the ball. But if you insist on trying to pass the ball in that situation because you need a big play, he said they were -6 on big plays in the first half. Okay, don't play action that way. Yeah. Just do a straight drop to give Dak a chance, because that offensive line was having a hell of a time against that defense. So play actions were out the window in the second half for me. So when I saw it on a play like that, and then what did it do? It ended up in a punt, and now the Bills get another drive, and then they tackle on 3-24-3, and here we go. They're just building the lead at this point.
Here we go.
In the wrong direction. It wasn't here we go. It was here we go.
Oh, yeah. Let's go ahead and take our final break. When we come back, we have a new segment I like to call What the Heck is Happening on the Road.
It's a long time.
What? Yes. Some supposedly, quote-unquote, food poisoning. We'll talk injuries and more after this break.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savannah. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now, Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is, Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Don't put off getting your oil changed, Dallas. Take 5 Oil Change. A proud partner of the Cowboys is faster than you think. There's no appointment needed and no waiting room. Yep, you heard that correctly. Take 5 is so fast, you don't even have to get out of your car. You can take advantage of Take 5's fast, friendly, and simple service at any of their locations across the Dallas area. And remember, at Take 5, you stay in your car because they're faster than you think. Take 5, the official oil change of the Dallas Cowboys.
It's the official men's skincare brand of the Dallas Cowboys, Jack Black. And right now, Cowboys fans can get 15% off their $75 order. Plus, because every deal needs a playmaker, your order will include a free 5-piece skincare set and free shipping. The Jack Black Playmaker is 4 of Jack's favorites and a full-sized intense therapy lip balm. Make a play for the playmaker at getjackblack.com/cowboys with the code Cowboys VIP. That's getjackblack.com/cowboys with the code Cowboys VIP.
They say champions are remembered, but legends
are never forgotten. United Ag and Turf offers a winning lineup of John Deere equipment built to tackle any challenge on and off the field. Legendary John Deere tractors, combines, residential mowers, commercial mowers, compact construction equipment, Gator utility vehicles, and a full line of golf and sports turf equipment. United Ag and Turf, the official Ag and Turf equipment supplier of the Dallas Cowboys. Visit UnitedAgandTurf.com to find a location near you.
Back to the break.
Get a frame-worthy family photo with Santa at the Star, presented by Monument Realty. Santa Claus will be at his Cowboys-themed cottage in the Star District through December 24th. Visit thestardistrict.com/Santa for more info.
I miss Derek, because I haven't been able to just, like, do my full-on venting session.
Well, you ran.
No,
go ahead.
No.
Okay, you go.
No. I'm the mature one here today. The composed one today. I'll bring it tomorrow. But today, what the heck is happening on the road? That's my new segment.
What the heck is happening on the road?
Yes.
The margin of error is much more thin, especially against a really good team. So when you make a simple mistake, it becomes a massive mistake on the road. A simple mistake at home becomes a massive mistake on the road. At AT&T Stadium, with the way the Cowboys have been playing, if they get, you know, that personal foul against Tank on that opening drive against the opposition, giving them four extra points, so now it's 7-0, guess what? On the next drive, that's probably a touchdown pass to Cooks, and all is well. And you forget, for the most part, about that. That Jayron Kearse penalty, whether you agree with it or not, it happened. Maybe you can overcome that at home, but you don't overcome that in Buffalo on the road when the rain is starting to come down. Against a team that is running the ball down your throat and is getting pressure on your quarterback virtually at will. So I know Dak Prescott and Mike McCarthy said yesterday, Mike said, quote unquote, it's too big of a gap as far as the play level of play between home and on the road. He's absolutely correct. And Dak said he's trying to put a finger on it. Micah said he's trying to put a finger on it as well. Some of it is intangible, but some of it is tangible. Penalties, those types of self-inflicted wounds, execution.
But those happen at home,
yeah,
too.
Execution, but they're more easily overcome at home because it's tougher to demoralize a team on their own field. So I think you would have seen more fight at AT&T Stadium once the game started to get off the rails than you would have seen in Buffalo or Philadelphia or obviously in Santa Clara out with the 49ers. And this is something that has to be cleaned up. Like, you can't talk about being a Super Bowl contender and have these and be 3-4 on the road, mm-hmm, and have your execution be an issue on the road and your offense turn all the way down on the road. And especially in a situation where, depending on what happens with the Seahawks and Eagles, guess what you might have to do to get to the Super Bowl? Play on the road.
Yep.
Every single game. Hell, even the Super Bowl is on the road, right? So even if things fall in your favor and you win the lottery and you went out from here and the Eagles lose out from here and the 49ers stumble, if you win the lottery and lightning strikes and you get first, the top spot, and you get home field advantage, Super Bowl ain't at home.
Right.
Learn how to win on the road and learn now.
Yeah, the whole thing, concept, I cannot put the finger on it. I cannot figure it out because it doesn't make any sense to me. Like, yeah, certain things you can talk about, like whether they're sleeping at their house or not, or sleeping at a hotel or having to travel, but it's not big enough of a reason as to why you should be playing the way that you play on a field. Brian, is there anything that you can maybe try to make some sense of it?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things. I think offensively against Philadelphia on the road, you were good enough to win the game. You just weren't good enough at the end. You know, I think Dak played well. They did what they had to do. At home, and I've said this before, they make teams very one-dimensional. They make you one-dimensional because what happens is they put so many points on the board. They create, you know, the opponents get into a bind because all of a sudden you're down in a game. Dallas will find a way to, defensively they turn you over at home, they do a great job of, you know, creating pressure at home. They get you to punt at home, and then all of a sudden Dallas's offense will put up, you know, 21 points quick. They get a pick six, you know, that thing turns into points. All of a sudden opponents are dealing with the Cowboys, you know, and they're down, you know, 28-3 or something like that in a game. And then all of a sudden, you know, you can't run the ball. You can't do what you need to do. So, you know, the problem is they don't have that ability to put teams in a bad spot on the road offensively. They just haven't been able to, they haven't manufactured enough offense. They surely didn't do it at Arizona. They had problems in that game, manufacturing offense. They had problems in Santa Clara. You know, they couldn't get open. But those were the first 2 weeks before the bye, so maybe it was something about the offense there. I mean, you had two really bad games before you made the offensive switch.
Yeah.
But, I think to me that the Cowboys put so much pressure on you offensively that it affects the way that opponents play you. And you haven't been able to do that as well, especially yesterday. You just couldn't. The Philadelphia game, like I said, I think Dallas played well enough offensively to get the game, to get the win. You know, the other couple losses were pre-bye. But that yesterday was a clear example to me that if you don't score enough or you don't put enough pressure on the opponent, that they will commit to doing something to Dallas that they're not really great at, and that's playing run defense consistently. And we saw it in the game against the Carolina Panthers. Even though the Panthers lost, they ran the ball well, yeah. And they hadn't run the ball well all year, So and then yesterday you got a really big dose of a team that was committed to it because they're terrified of – there was no threat of your offense doing anything in the game, and your defense, they kept you from rushing the passer, which they absolutely wanted to do. And so they went at what Dallas does worst, and that's play run defense.
Yeah, and it's going to be tough for them to figure out quickly because they haven't – the next couple of teams that are coming up on the schedule, I mean, they can run the ball.
Believe it.
Yeah, yeah.
And when you're talking about Miami, you're also talking about with speed. Yeah. And that was one thing they struggled with Cook, because not only was his vision superb last night, but so was his quickness and speed. When he decided that he was going to put his foot in the ground and go, he was gone, and they had a hard time tracking him down. So to your question about size, we've talked about it a lot. Sacrificing size at the linebacker position, be it voluntarily or involuntarily, because you're losing LVE, that's involuntary, right? But Marquise Bell, for example, you get speed and quickness there, but you lose the mass.
Bulk.
Yeah, you lose the bulk. Perfect word. So you lose the bulk there. Now you're going against a guy in like A-Chain, for example, who you would like to think that's a favorable matchup for a guy like Marquise Bell. But then you look and see how Bell struggled against Cook. And now you kind of start to wonder a little bit. So the Dolphins, I mean, they can run the ball. They've got horses back there. And the Cowboys, you would love to believe, and history proves, that they don't lay two eggs in a row when it comes to something like this. But it's also true that they're going to have two hands full against that Dolphins rushing attack.
Don't stress me out yet. We'll talk about that later in the week.
It's just 49 run plays, and the Cowboys had two run stuffs. Yeah. Two run stuffs out of 49 run plays. And Evans was the best run defender yesterday.
Mm. Yeah. That's going to be very, very tough to handle.
They better clean it up.
And it's hard because that has been an issue. The run defense, the Cowboys have struggled with that, regardless of having Hankins or not. Obviously, having Hankins helps. And you can see a clear difference when he's on the field. But still, that has been...
But Cooks was burning the edge.
Yeah, but they never had anybody... Buffalo committed to running the football yesterday. Threw the ball 15 times. That's what you do. If you want to beat Dallas, and if you can play good enough defense to not... they limited Dallas's big plays.
Yeah.
They didn't give Dallas any big plays.
Yep.
So all of a sudden now you're limiting their big plays. You're winning the scoreboard right now. Heck yeah, you run the ball against Dallas. Mm-hmm. You're like, listen, I don't want their pass rush to get after me today.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see if they could play run defense today. And it wasn't all about Hankins, because some of the stops, some of the runs that they made, well, the majority of the runs that they had, I was looking at just the metrics of it, outside left, outside right. I mean, they had outside left, they had 10 carries for 82 yards. This is Cook. 10 carries, 82 yards. That's 8.2 yards per carry going outside left. That's four. They had four runs of 10 plus over there. That's an 80% success rate of running over there. It wasn't all the inside runs, wasn't what killed you. It was his ability to get to the edge. Mm-hmm. There was a 113 yards just running on the edge. of his carries yesterday. It didn't matter. 8.2 outside left, 7.8 outside right, 4.6 inside left, and then 7.2 inside right. Didn't matter. He just take the ball wherever they wanted to go yesterday. Yep. Dallas didn't have an answer for that.
They did not.
Mm-mm.
Oh, man.
And look at these yards per. Look at these yards allowed by each individual. DeMarcus Lawrence, one of your best run defenders, period. He allowed 5.1. Let's see. I'm going to the linemen and linebackers. Micah Parsons, 5.9. Again, Rashawn Evans, he played well in the run defense, only 3.6. Allow Osa, usually stout, 5.3. Yeah. Dono, 5.3. The list goes on and on. Most of these guys are averaging. Mazi, 5.8. Golston, 5.8. Dorrance, 5.0. Cook had his way.
Yeah.
And it basically was exactly what the Bills wanted. They didn't want to pass the ball.
No, hell no.
That deep middle crosser to Diggs notwithstanding, he took a couple deep shots, and those balls were not there for him.
Mm-mm.
And that was basically McDermott saying, okay, let's see. And then it didn't happen. He was like, okay, let's go back to running the ball.
Well, yeah, Joe Brady got smart. I mean, he helped Buffalo's defense yesterday. And the way he kept Dallas's offense off the field, that was impressive. That was impressive work by the Bills in that situation, winning it. They always talk about complimentary football, and that was a great example of complimentary football yesterday. Yep.
All right, before we end the show, wanted to address super quickly this rumor. And I said rumor because it has not been confirmed by anybody on this building.
Eye roll.
Yeah, yeah. But since it's circulating in social media and we've heard it, there's some rumor going around that supposedly some players ate something and that gave them food poisoning the night before the game. We have not heard any of this. You have not, Brian. Patrick has not. So I don't know who came up with this, and it's just a rumor. We'll see later if anything
else comes out of it. It's a great excuse. I'll buy it if it works.
Yeah, yeah. The other thing, real quick.
Don't blame the pizza.
Don't blame the pizza. Super, super quick before we go, injuries. We'll know more about it later. We do know that everybody returned to the game with the exception of Zach Martin. Mm-hmm. He did injure his quad, and he said after the game how it feels better knowing that is his quad and not his knee.
It could have been his knee,
which would have been worse. And he was feeling very positive as far as going through rehab and everything this week and being able to be available for the game in Miami. So injuries, any other injuries that you guys are concerned about?
Not right now,
today?
But what I would say for Zach Martin is I love his optimism, but it's a quad bruise and it's going to feel different this morning than it did last night. So let's see how it goes as far as his treatment is concerned, as far as his availability goes. He's optimistic, McCarthy's optimistic, but again, when Zach woke up this morning, 100% guarantee you it felt much different. But Britt and Jim and those guys, they obviously do an excellent, excellent job. So let's see if they can get him ready because they're going to need Zach.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, that is it for today. We'll be back tomorrow. Derek should be back, and we'll start talking about
food
the NFL.
Poisoning?
Blame the pizza.
No. But we'll talk about playoffs tomorrow.
Sick of the play on the
road. He said, I ain't showing up if they didn't show up. Again, just kidding. That's just out of my mouth. For Patrick Walker, Brian Broaddus, I'm Amber Garcia. This has been The Break on DallasCowboys.com Radio.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys? Yeah!